good morning, one and all, and a very warm welcome to you to our service of worship on this cold, snowy day. Hasn't stopped us from coming to the worship of God, so that's a wonderful effort on part of the people of God, for which we are thankful. I just want to begin this morning by reading to us from a few verses from Job chapter 36 and 7. And Job says these great, great words about the God that he knows and has experienced. And he says these words, God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? Or who has prescribed his ways for him? Or said to him, you have done wrong. Remember to extol his work, which men have praised in song. All mankind has seen it. Men gaze on it from afar. How great is God beyond our understanding. The number of his years is past finding out. He draws up the drops of water which distill as rain to the streams. The clouds pour down their moisture and abundant showers fall on mankind. Who can understand how he spreads the clouds? How he thunders from his pavilion? See how he scatters his lightning about him, bathing the depths of the sea. This is the way he governs the nations and provides food in abundance. He fills his hands with lightning and commands it to strike its mark. His thunder announces the coming storm. Even the cattle make known its approach. And then jump to verse 4 of 37. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain shower, be a mighty downpour, so that all men he has made may know his work. He stops every man from his labour. Well, may we ask for the blessing of God upon his own word to us this morning at this great view and mighty view of the God that we worship. Well, let us come to him now on bended knee in prayer. Let us bow our heads. Our great God and Saviour, our wondrous, majestic, great Creator, we come before you this morning, thankful for these words that we have read from the book of Job and how they remind us of your utter greatness and mightiness and loftiness above this earth, and how we are indeed your worshippers and your subjects this day. Our Lord, we would pray this morning that you would help us in all of our endeavours to worship you truly in spirit and in truth, that we might know him who has been spoken of by Job in these words this morning, that we might have this grand view of who you are. So help us as we now enter into the various elements of worship this day, and we ask that all the glory may be given from us to you, for we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to, as is our habit these days, to read the first hymn, and hymn number 807. It is hymn number 807. Filled with these necessary words for each and every one of us. We are always being taught and always learning from that, we trust. Teach me your way, O Lord, teach me your way. Your gracious aid afford, teach me your way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me your way. When doubts and fears arise, teach me your way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me your way. Shine through the cloud and rain, through sorrow, toil and pain. Make then my pathway plain. Teach me your way. Long as my life shall last, teach me your way. Where'er my lot be cast, teach me your way. Until the race is run, until the journey's done, until the crown is won, teach me your way. Well, that is surely a prayer for us here this day, that God would teach us his ways and his ways only. Well, as you know, we have we've picked up again in 1 John, and so our Bible reading comes from the next section of 1 John this morning, 1 John chapter 4, and this important section, 6 verses on the testing of the spirits. Hopefully we'll get to know what that entails in a little while when we deal with the passage. It won't by any means be a complete treatment of the subject, but it'll be as best as we can on a Sunday morning, our first sermon on this subject. So test the spirits, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Let's hear God's word. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Well, may God add his blessing to the reading of that word to us this morning. And we shall come back to that in a little while. Well, our second hymn, which comes next, is hymn number 747, 747. So hymn number 747, fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its path before thee lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust, and thy trusting soul shall prove Christ is its life and Christ is its love. Faint not for fear. His arms are near. He changeth not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Well, we trust that that will be our experience today, and if not today, then certainly in the future. Christ is our all in all. Well, let's come to the Lord now in prayer. Let's bow our heads before him. Oh, our God and Father, we do indeed come before you this morning, thankful for this opportunity again to come before you, the one true God. We thank you, O Lord, that we are able to worship you, that the word of God prescribes to us the way in which we must approach you in prayer, and that we must worship you in spirit and in truth. And, O Lord, we would just say this morning that we love your word and we thank you for your word, which reveals you to us this day. We thank you, O Lord, that for many of us here this morning, that we have known your word and read your word and acted upon your word and lived upon your word for many years. And we would pray that you would help us evermore, all of us, to be fixed upon the word of God this day. We do thank you, O Lord, that your word is perfect, that it is a lamp to our path. We thank you, O Lord, that it does show us our faults, O Lord, that it brings about in us the necessary correction that we sometimes need. And we would pray this day that you would help us to see your word and to respond to its correction in our own lives, O Lord. That as we come before you now in worship, that, O Lord, you would help us and bless us to hear your word and then to apply it to our own selves as we grow in the Christian life. Help us, we pray. We thank you, O Lord, for this day. We thank you for those that are gathered here, even on this day, where the weather is challenging. And we do pray, O Lord, for your blessing upon each and every one of us as we gather together in your name, before the one true God, whom is Father, Son, and Spirit. And so, Lord, we would ask now that you be with us, that you would be with those, Lord, who amongst us who are struggling maybe in their faith, feeling weak and feeling tired and feeling maybe that the fight of faith is getting too difficult. And we would ask for your blessing upon them, O Lord. We pray for those who are struggling physically and dealing with old age. Those amongst us whom we haven't seen for some time in public worship. And we would offer them up to you this morning, asking, O Lord, that you would indeed strengthen and help and support each of them as they struggle with these difficulties. So now, O Lord, we have these pleasures before us where we come before you, where we pray and where we sing or read hymns, as it may be, and we read your word, O Lord, and then we come to the very preached word of God. We would indeed ask for your blessing upon us, O Lord, as we come to your word, that our hearts would be opened, O Lord, that our eyes would be opened, that our ears would be opened to hear what the Spirit has to say this day. We thank you, O Lord, that we belong to a church that strives to preach your word faithfully, that is based upon the preaching of God's word. We thank you for these blessings and privileges that you have afforded to us. And we would pray now for one another. We would ask that you would bless each member, each head, and keep your hand upon each and every one of us, O Lord, that we might grow in grace and in knowledge this day. And Lord, for the younger ones, for the little ones, and for the young people, we would also ask your great blessing, your hand to be upon them, O Lord, that you would again minister to them as they sit in these congregations from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. Lord, we would long to see them come to a knowledge of the Saviour and to be greatly blessed. So help us and help them, we pray, as we guide them through this life and teach them as well. Father, we do commit the remainder of our service now and the coming to the Word of God, which is the culmination of our worship this morning, asking for your hand of blessing to be upon it, and that you would keep us, O Lord, in your love until that day when you should again come in the clouds with your holy angels to return for the final time for those who are yours. Lord, we long for that day. We long for that time, O Lord, and would you help us now to make the most of our time here on earth, that we should love and learn to love and grow to love you and one another and to worship you, the one true God, for as long as we possibly can. Help us, we ask. We confess our sins again, O Lord, and we know that we are sinners in every part. We know that every part of us has been affected by our fallen nature. We do pray, O Lord, that you would forgive us our many sins as we confess them this morning, asking for your hand to be upon us. This we ask now in our Saviour's dear and precious name, in the name of the one who gave himself for us at great pains and cost, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, come with me, if you would, back to the passage that we read from 1 John chapter 4, and the opening part of this chapter deals with the discernment or the discerning of spirits. And I'd like to just take you through a reminder, first of all, of what John has been doing so far in this book. It's not a bad thing to have the occasional reminder of where we have been, which is what has led us to where we are today. So as we've been looking through this book, we've seen John do three things, haven't we? In the first chapter of the book, John has been careful and concerned to make sure that as Christians we understand the relationship of sin, or between sin and holiness, in the Christian life. On the one hand, John wanted us to know that as believers, we would continue in this life to struggle with sin. That is always a given. We will always struggle with sin in this life. But on the other hand, John also wanted to make sure that whilst we struggle in sin, that we would also strive for holiness in this life. So two almost contradictory things to be looking out for. Striving with sin, yes, problems, yes, difficulties, and yes, John wants us to also be striving for holiness, so that we are always seeking to be conformed to the image of God. But we must also remember to be realistic about the sin that we still face and still have and still struggle with, at the same time while we are striving to be like our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And I've got a slight, well, I'm not sure if it's a correction, but it's an addition to what I said last week, which is this, that we, the reason that we, I said last week that the reason that we know we are believers and Christians is that we love the brethren. Well, there's an addition to be made to that, of course. Otherwise, I might be preaching salvation by works if I don't put a qualifier on the end of it. And the qualifier is this: we can only do that if we are, first of all, in Christ. If we are only, first and foremost, being able to do that by the grace of God, which has come to us not of our own works or merit, but freely through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So I apologize about that. I realized after the sermon I felt I'd missed something out, and then someone very graciously and kindly came and reminded me very gently in conversation that maybe there is something to be added on to that, and it's quite right to say that. So remember that anything and everything that we find in 1 John, that all of these qualifications, all of these, how can we call them, all of these little qualifications that John lays before us, we are only able to do because of Jesus, because of Christ, because of his power at work in us. And so John was having to speak then about this subject because there were teachers in that congregation who were teaching that once you become a Christian, that you are now sinless, that you should no longer be striving with sin, that there should be no more battle with sin going on. And therefore, because of that, you can live in any old way that you like, because it is really all about the change of heart that you've experienced. It's about no more than that. So it doesn't matter how you live in your body. It comes under the general, very general term of Gnosticism. In other words, you know, the spirit is good, matter or body is bad. And John really, truly condemns those teachers. But then in connection with that, John has also, in this book, been giving Christians these tests and diagnostics, if you like, where we can tell the difference between true and false teachers. Never an easy job, always. Sometimes you may have come across them, either by reading some of their books or materials, or maybe by watching them on television, or sometimes by hearing them preach as well. And you may have come away from a certain meeting or book or whatever it was, feeling uneasy in your soul. You may have thought, well, all the mentions of Jesus are all there, all the good things are there, but there's an odd twist to this, and I can't quite put my finger upon it. Well, John gives us these diagnostics by which we can come and bring these to bear upon the very word of God. So he gives us several different tests here this morning, whereby we can tell a true prophet from a false prophet. And that is what happens here in verses 2 and 3. But thirdly, then, in this book, John gives us also these tests that we can apply to ourselves so that we can answer the question, do we see a change in ourselves? Do we see an ongoing righteousness? Do we see a growth in holiness? Do we see a growth in grace in our own hearts? Do we see an expanding love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his people and for his church? Of course, at the beginning of the series, I think I brought to you those three, what were they, moral tests. Well, there was a moral, doctrinal, and a relational test here. The doctrinal test is, what do we think about Christ? What do we think? What do we think about Jesus? Is he the Son of God who came into the world in flesh? Did he become as man into the world? And then there was the moral test. Are we obedient to Jesus? Are we obedient to his word? And then the relational test was to do with how we relate with one another. Do we really love one another? Do we love fellow believers? And do we see them as our own family? And so there were those three tests, weren't they? Doctrinal, moral, and relational. And in the passage today, John is dealing with the issue of these false prophets, these false spirits in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are some great dangers in this area, of course, dangers that we need to be made aware of. What are the immediate dangers? Well, many who firstly encountering the reality of some of the teaching of these teachers become completely dazzled by them and leave discernment at the door of their home and don't practice discernment as they hear these words. There have been many large movements in the past that have proclaimed their basis as being in the Word of God, and yet when their fruits and methods and legacies were examined in the light of God's Word, it was clear that what they were was far more of man than of God. And there were great phenomena happening at these gatherings, which for many people was the decider. They say, well, these things are happening in these places and in these gatherings, and therefore this must be of God. Yet the background of these verses in this passage is the same as that of 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. The practice of these supernatural phenomena such as prophecy and the speaking in tongues being prevalent, and in those days as in these days, John's guidance and direction for us is do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world they are there deceiving many in these days. You see, we cannot trust everything that seems to come from inspiration to God. There are tests to be done, and we must be discerning. Now, there is an ongoing spiritual battle in this world. These battles cannot be explained in human terms, only in spiritual terms, because behind the false prophets and the false spirits is Satan himself, is the enemy himself. And yet, we also know that behind good teaching, behind right teaching, behind biblical teaching, the Lord Jesus Christ stands behind every true minister of his. And both Paul and Peter, they warn us, don't they, of the reality of the spiritual battle that is ongoing. Peter warns us that the devil is prowling around seeking whom he may devour. Again, Paul gives us in Ephesians 6 that wonderful treatise on how the Christian is to protect himself from the word of God. You see, there were prophets in the early church, men who preached the truth, men who brought the word of God audibly to Christian congregations. Paul refers to them in his letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12, 7-10. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, and so on and so on. And then to another, prophecy. Prophecy. What is prophecy? I mean, in those days, it was men, as Paul is telling us here, it was men speaking directly from God. It was men speaking the very word of God to the people of God. We think of this today, since we have the Bible completed, that it is really the role of the minister. He preaches the already given word of God. God is no longer speaking, generally speaking, audibly to men and women. Really, the prophecy comes as the preached word of God. So there were godly men in the church who preached the oracles of God, but there were also false apostles moved by false and evil spirits seeking to confuse and to divide the church. The question is, how do we discern which is which? How do we distinguish? Whilst we are cultivating holiness, whilst we are battling with our sin, how do we deal with these great issues? Well, John gives us the great test in verses 2 and 3, doesn't he? This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. It's not simply a matter of saying, well, I believe in Jesus. It's something greater and further than that, isn't it? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the incarnate Son of God, the one who came into the world being very God and very man? Well, Very often this is where many people fall down. There have been numerous attacks upon the incarnation and the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, later, but every spirit, he says, that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Every spirit that does not acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that's very important, has come in the flesh, is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, he says. Very often you see the matter of spiritual discernment is very important, and it is all important. These things have eroded in our generation as Bible knowledge and importance on preaching has disappeared in churches. So has the strength of discernment disappeared from those churches as well. John gives us more than a clue here, doesn't he? Verses 2 to 3. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus, having come in the flesh, is from God. I wonder what your belief is this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that he came in the flesh? We've not long been celebrating Christmas, and we've been celebrating the coming of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a human into the world. He came in human form. He came as a baby. And we've read about how intricate and specific the whole of that process was right from the beginning, even going back hundreds of years previous, to tell us that something is going to happen. One will come into the world who will be the Saviour of all men. This passage says to us, I think, three things about this. First of all, John wants us to be discerning about who Jesus Christ is. He wants us to be discerning about him, his person, his nature, and his work. That's in the first three verses, isn't it? Verses 1 to 3 of this chapter. Secondly, he wants us to realize that this is not just an intellectual or academic matter, but it is primarily a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. Do you believe? Has God revealed these things to you? Do you have this revelation in your own life? Has God convicted you by his Spirit of the truth of Jesus Christ and of his coming into the world as or in human form? Now, it's not a matter of being clever. You don't need to be clever to understand that. You don't need to be someone who is intellectual or academic. God has revealed himself to the simplest of people. But it is a spiritual matter to be able to distinguish this great thing, to distinguish between truth and error. You see that in verses 4 and 5. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Doesn't that ring in you a note of thanks to God? God is looking after the Christian. God is looking after his own children. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. You have overcome these false prophecies and false teachers. Why? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now that's something important to remember this morning for us to be encouraged by. And then finally in verse 6, John, he makes it clear that one test of a true prophet and a false prophet is whether that prophet believes what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, what the Word of God says about him. The way John puts it here is this. those who know God listen to us. Now, he says that in his own gospel as well, doesn't he? My sheep hear my voice. Who's the us? Well, the apostles. In other words, he's saying, those who are true prophets, true apostles, listen to the apostles' teaching. Where do we find the apostles' teaching? In the Word of God. Those who are not true prophets, they reject the apostles' teaching. They reject what the apostles have taught about the nature and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in these three passages that John has given to us, as Christians, there are these tests, aren't there, whereby we can discern the spirits. So first of all, we need to be able to apply the Bible's test to those who claim to be prophets of the Lord. There's so much of this ongoing today in different circles. Now, maybe we don't come into touch with this very often in our own circles, but it is very much out there. And John is telling us that a teacher who teaches the Bible, what the Bible says about Jesus is showing the mark of being a true Christian teacher. John is telling us that what a teacher teaches about the Bible, what the Bible says about Jesus, is showing the mark of a true Christian teacher. But that any teacher who denies the Bible's teaching is not from God. And the particular problem that they are facing in this passage is that they are facing the denial of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're facing that denial about who he was. They're saying, well, no, he was simply God and he was no more. He never became a human. He was never truly human. It's one of the great testimonies to the truth of the claims of our Lord Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, the divine Son of God, the second person of the Trinity in the flesh. How do we call him? We see this in Christmas carols, don't we, very often? Very God of very God, begotten, not created. The one who is deity himself. That 2 centuries of Christian history had passed before anybody dared to say that Jesus was not human and divine. 200 years of Christian history. And if you think about that, well, the testimony of history says no one questioned the deity of Christ in the history of Christianity. There was no serious challenge to it for 3 centuries. And then when that challenge came, it was completely rebutted during the years of the Reformation. But then things began to change again, and there were further challenges to the question of the humanity, the deity and the humanity of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The problem that people struggled with in the early church was, is Jesus human? Is Jesus human? That really is a testimony to the truth of the gospel in many ways. They had no problem in believing the deity of Christ, but what they grappled with and struggled with was, was Jesus truly human? Is he fully human? And John is responding to these teachers, and he's saying to them that if you deny this, if you deny that Jesus is fully human, that undercuts the gospel. We know that he has come in flesh, and he came in flesh. History shows us that. The Word of God gives that to us. The apostles' teaching teaches us that Jesus Christ came as a human being into the world. there's the other point as well, and it is this: if Jesus Christ was not fully human, then he was not a high priest that could sympathize with us in all things except sin. Then he could, neither could he be our Redeemer who bore our sin as a human in our place. And so that denial of the Bible teaching about Christ was a denial of the gospel, and John meets it here with a very strong rebuke. Well, secondly, we need to train ourselves then to be biblically discerning. We need to be discerning about what people are saying about Jesus. We need to have our ears open about what people are teaching in this day and age about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And in verses 4 and 5, John says, discerning this is not simply a matter of being clever or intellectual. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So, you've overcome. You have overcome is what John is saying here. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, you could preach a number of sermons just on that phrase alone, I know. But it's filled with truth. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Very often we fail in our Christian lives because we neglect to remember this one great fact, that Christ is in us. Christ is at work in us, and he is far and infinitely more powerful and greater than the enemy of our souls. He is the dominant power in us. So you have Christ with you. You have all of his benefits and blessings and privileges at work with you that he won for you upon the cross. It's not just a matter of knowing information, is it? But it's a matter of experiencing these things as well. It's experience as much as knowing. But the knowing is very important, and knowing the right truth and the right things is all important. And John is saying here this morning, this doesn't rely on your cleverness or your academic ability, but it does rely upon your ability to relate to the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. It's a spiritual matter. Remember Paul saying to Timothy, this warning, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and he begins the verse, begins the chapter with the warning to be discerning, and the reason for that is the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith to follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. That's the warning. And then finally, one last thing here, look at verse 6 then. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. He's talking about the apostles there, the apostles preaching. We are from God, we know that. Whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Well, he's saying here that if you know God, you will want to listen to the truth. The truth will be all important to you. The gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, will be all important to you. And you will seek it out, and you will make an effort to be where it is preached. The apostles, you see, they are from God, and they're faithful teachers, aren't they? And those who are faithful teachers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will teach in accordance with God's word. And the apostles are God's men. And so those who know God will accept their teaching, and those who don't will reject it, very simply. They will show that they are of the world by the very fact that they reject the apostles' teaching and preaching, and that they are rejecting the gospels. There are people who sadly today still call into question the authority and the truthfulness of this word. 1 John 4:4-6 says that anybody who tells you that this word is wrong is not of God. So you have to remember that. Now, John says that to us. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. We are simply opening up God's word here this morning. John, who was he? Well, he was one of the favorite apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who laid his head on Jesus's bosom, wasn't he? And he spoke these words and he wrote them down for the church. And he said these words, anybody who rejects the apostles' teaching doesn't know, they simply do not know the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an important thing for us to remember and to think about today as we think about the great issue and discern truth and error. There are many people today who lay claim to being speaking for God, to being the messengers of God, to being the heralds of God, to being receiving the word of God audibly, and yet who would also reject the very written word of God. And Jesus is saying to them, you deny the teaching of the apostles, and by doing so, you show that you do not know the God of the apostles. You do not know him. There is no way that you can know him. If you reject the apostles' teaching and if you reject the word of God, then you do not know him. And John is saying to us here this morning, we need to be very discerning about what we hear in regard to the word of God in this day and age. There are many people who go around the place saying, well, I'm hearing this and that from God, and God is speaking to me, and God is bringing these words to me, and he's saying this and that to me without any reference whatsoever to Holy Scripture. To people like this, the first thing we need to say is, give me a biblical reference for where God has spoken to you. Take me to the Word of God. Teach me, show me where God has spoken to you and what he's confirming for you. We need to be discerning, we need to be wise, we need to be careful about what people are teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ this day. Do we believe in Jesus this morning as he is simply offered in the gospel? He is the Son of God, he is our Savior, he is the friend and Savior of sinners. Do we believe in that? And if so, we're believing in the Jesus Christ of Scripture. Now, I know the children are learning about Jesus, and they are learning about the things of God, and they're learning the Word of God. And those are the basic things that they need to know. I know that Nathaniel and Beatrix, and ours as well, and I'm sure Ben also, are learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the friend of sinners. He's the friend of little ones who believe in him. He is their Savior. And so the question this morning is, do we have spiritual discernment in our hearts that the Holy Spirit has given to us so that our knowledge of the truth of Scripture means that we can discern between false prophets or false teaching, twisted teaching, modified teaching of Holy Scripture, between right and wrong, that which is error and that which is true? Do we have that ability this day? Because that's a very important question, you see. And do we submit ourselves to the Bible? That's the most important thing, isn't it? We have to submit ourselves to the Bible and accept it as fully true and authoritative this morning. Those are the tests that John gives us in order to look out and to test who is true and who is false. And if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, well, we need more than anything else to receive him. And the call of the gospel is still today to seek him out while you can, to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, to find the true Christ, the one whom has revealed himself in Scripture, so that your eyes might be opened, that you might have knowledge of sins forgiven, reconciliation with God, peace with God, and an assurance of eternal life. Well, may the Lord minister to us and help us as we continue in our day of worship today before him. Let's just pray at the end of our sermon now. Oh Lord, we would just pray that as we have imperfectly gone through these few verses this morning, that you would give us discernment, and above all, that you would root us in our Saviour by faith, and not only in any way, but in the way that he has specifically revealed himself to us in his word. This we ask now in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, in the hymn book to hymn number 790. Hymn number 790. It's a hymn of comfort to us when we are striving for the ideals of the Christian life in this life and in this world. Speaks to the soul of man. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, your God will undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. Well, amen. Let me just give a word of benediction over us as we leave the worship of God for this day. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.